The Book Nook on WYSO was presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Lori Rader Day. She joins us on the telephone in Chicago. Welcome to the program, Lori.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lori, you've got a new novel out. It's called Wreck Your Heart, A Mystery. And we were just chatting a moment ago. You're getting some buzz already. The book just came out, and is it true that you're in People magazine?
The book is in People magazine, and my face is in People magazine. It is mind-boggling.
Have you ever had anything like that happen before with your previous books?
I've had good news with my previous books. I've had an embarrassment of riches in many ways, but I've never been in anything like People magazine. It's
wow.
Astounding. How many People magazines have I read in my lifetime? So many.
That's got to be a nice little booster for... getting the book out there, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, I'm very excited to see what happens and to get the book into people's hands. That's the goal.
Well, this is, I hate to confess this, but this is the first of your books that I've read. And I want to know about your work. And are all your books standalones, or have you done some series? Or tell me about it.
Sure. So I write standalones.
Okay.
I think it's my attention span is just too short for, writing the same character, the same location each time. I admire people who write series. I love to read series books. But I just love that new story, that new character that I get to explore. And I love having a story that you get, you know, the full story in one book. So I write standalones. Wreck Your Heart is my eighth book. It's a little different from previous books in that I let myself leave in all the jokes that occurred to me. Most of my books, sometimes I talk on panels and that sort of thing, and people will ask afterward, oh, you're funny. Are your books funny? No, not really. They're thrillers. They have funny moments, but this one I decided to have a lot more fun with.
So this is a little more humorous than normal for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a sassy character. Dahlia Devine is a country music singer in Chicago, and she's a little bit of a bad background. She's had a bad life so far. She's 26 and just really struggling, but she has a buoyant spirit. She has a sense of humor about things and, you know, a sassy attitude, so she was really fun to write.
Could we say she has abandonment issues?
She does have abandonment issues.
This cover.
She was literally abandoned by her mother, who was a drug addict. And now your listeners are thinking, yeah, that sounds like a really funny book. No. But she has been in the foster care system, so she's definitely got, attachment issues, abandonment issues. And now her boyfriend has left her, her live-in boyfriend. He ran off with the rent money. So she's not only out of a boyfriend, she's out of an apartment and loses her job in the process of, you know, trying to get her apartment back. So she's just really scraping bottom when you first meet her. She's got the life that sounds a lot like a country song.
Mm.
But she's still, you know, she's a fighter. And so she's a buoyant person who wants to make it big, wants to, be a songwriter, wants to be a star.
Well, fortunately for her, she's got at least one person that she can rely on, one person who throughout her life has been there for her. Tell us about this guy, Alex.
Alex is my favorite character, possibly that I've ever written. When he appeared on the page, and this will tell you a lot about how I write, when he appeared on the page, I didn't know who he was. His name was Alex. He was behind the bar at McPhee's Tavern, where Dahlia is living at the moment, being kicked out of her apartment. She's living above the bar where she sings. And I didn't know who he was. I didn't know, is he just someone that she works with because she sings at the bar and he bartends? Is he the owner? Is he just the owner of the bar? Is he her dad? Is he her boyfriend? Is he? I didn't really know. And it turns out that he's been a solid presence in her life when she didn't have anyone else like that. He's the person who swept her up, got her out of the bad situation that she was in with her mother, you know, homeless and that sort of thing. And he had his own addiction problem that he's gotten through, so he understands a lot of what's going on and what needs to be done. But he's also a very stoic person. Dahlia says, if he had been born a few years later, he'd be officially on the autism spectrum. Mm. But he's just the quiet, you know, the strong silent type. But he's the strong silent type that she can rely on.
And he has this family business, this old tavern that apparently has a long history. And as we're reading along, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that there are rumors that there's a treasure in the building somewhere that Al Capone might have been connected to. And I had a flashback to that special on TV years ago with Geraldo Rivera. I'm guessing maybe you were inspired in some part by that.
Not exactly by the Geraldo special, but I do remember that happening. I was pretty young, maybe 12, maybe not even that old, but I remember that happening and it being such a bummer that there was nothing in the vault. But part of what I was inspired by is this sort of mythology of a lot of the, you know, corner taverns in Chicago where I live, where it seems like every other one is like, oh yeah, we were a speakeasy in the 20s. And so many of them wish that Al Capone had a drink at their bar. You know, there are a couple who I think can say that honestly, but the rest of them really wish they could say it because that's the sort of thing that will bring tourists to your door. In the case of McPhee's, there's a mythology that, you know, Al Capone used to drink there, and maybe some of his money that was never recovered might have ended up somewhere in the bar. So tourists are showing up, and they want to know all about it. And there's also a rumor of a ghost in the building, and someone in the book, you know, suggests that it's the ghost of Al Capone, but that's maybe not what's happening.
Well, it may have been a flop as a show, but I think that Geraldo delivered him some great ratings because everyone was watching that darn thing.
Absolutely. I was watching it.
There you go. The book is Wreck Your Heart by Lori Rader Day. She joins on the telephone in Chicago. The book just came out, and it's a mystery. But you're on Minotaur on this one, and Minotaur is known for their crime fiction. And as I was reading it, I kept going, okay, let's have the crime. You know, there are some small crimes going on here, like her boyfriend absconding with the rent money. But there's no big crime until we get about 100 pages in. I thought, okay, she's building the origin story for her character, Dahl. And I wondered maybe if there isn't a slight homage here to James Ellroy with her name.
Actually, I think the homage would be to Dolly Parton.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember why I chose the name Dahlia to begin with as her first name. I do love that book, by the way, The Black Dahlia, by James Ellroy. But I have read it pretty recently, so maybe that was in my mind.
Okay.
But I also really love how the Chicago accent turns the word doll into something completely different. And so I think I just kind of got stuck in my head thinking the audiobook narrator is going to have to negotiate this, like, you know, doll kind of situation. And that kind of amused me. I'm just writing for my own amusement sometimes.
Well, nice. Well, you just mentioned Dolly Parton. Let's talk about her musical career because her relationship with her band is a big part of this. Let's talk about her band, and let's also talk about the kind of music that she does, because when I think of her, I think of Patsy Cline.
Absolutely, Patsy Cline. So Dahlia Devine is the lead of a band. It's an all-woman country music band, and they play every week at McPhee's. It's the house band at McPhee's. They are, you know, there's the drums, the guitar, the fiddle, the upright bass, and then Dahlia plays the guitar and sings. And a little trivia for you, all those bandmates are named after a friend group of mine. So they all have a character that they are aligned with in name, not in character. And then they got to pick which instrument they wanted to play. Again, just writing to amuse myself sometimes. But Dahlia and her band are very married to classic country when the book opens. They play, you know, cover songs, and they enjoy it. And people enjoy listening to music that they know. They love being able to sing along, to dance along. You know, they just really enjoy hearing the songs that they grew up with or, you know, were young during when it was popular.
Sure.
So Dahlia loves Patsy Cline. That's sort of her idol. But she also wants to write music, and she sort of secretly is collecting little bits of songs, and she often thinks, oh, that'll make a good line for a song. She's not actively writing music. She wants to be a songwriter, but she's not actually writing music. And over the course of the book, she starts to think about, you know, what it will take to actually become the kind of musician, the kind of performer that she wants to be on stage, and then also what does she need to be in real life. She's a bit of a performer in real life as well.
She's definitely got her own persona as a performer. And we meet the clientele of this tavern as well as the employees. And these turn out to be very important characters. Like we have the Jims.
The Jims. I love the Jims. Again, the way I write, I don't plan very much. I sort of just plunk a character that I know a few things about into a situation and start to see who does she encounter, who does she react to, who does she have conversations with, and who's important to her, which is how Alex became such an important character to Dahlia. But as she walks into the bar for the first time, she notes the Jims. These are the clientele who have collected you know, trash in a chain link fence, right? They're this collection of men that she thinks are all named Jim. She's not really sure. And she has sort of nicknames for all three of them. But they become important to the book. And then there are a couple of employees who work in the kitchen with Alex who are also important to the story.
And there are a couple of dogs who are important.
I love the dogs. I think it's dangerous to put animals into mystery novels because the people who love animals, the readers who love animals, are always going to be very concerned about the animals. I kind of wanted to title the book, The Dogs Will Be Okay. because the dogs are in, you know, the very first scene I wrote for the book, one of the first scenes I wrote for the book, the dog, she's walking her roommate's dogs, and just took on personalities that I did not expect. I am a dog person. I have a dog. My dog is sitting at my feet very quietly for a change right now. And I just, I started writing this book. I was not writing a novel when I started writing this story. I was trying to participate in a writing challenge where you write very quickly for a month.
Oh.
And I didn't have a project going. So the night before I was doing this challenge, I wrote a list of things that were bringing me joy. And this would have been in the fall of 2020. So if you remember the fall of 2020, it was not a great time. It was just not a great time for anyone.
Because of COVID?
Because of COVID, the COVID lockdown, I was very serious about that, having had health problems. And so I had lost my beloved dog in 2019, so we got a puppy in the fall of 2020. So that was one of the things that was bringing me joy, was having a dog in the house. But there were things I missed that were that I would have loved to have done, like gone into my city, Chicago, gone to, you know, a pub and had a beer with a friend. And I decided the lockdown wasn't hard enough, so I was cutting carbs, and so I missed cereal. So I made a list of all these things, Chicago, beer, cereal, dogs, and country music, because I had been listening to country music for a little while, enjoying it much more than I had in my entire life. Artists like Brandi Carlile and Jason Isbell were just, you know, making me very happy. And so I wrote down country music, and the next morning I started writing this story about a country music singer in Chicago walking some dogs, living over a tavern. The serial mostly got cut, but there is a scene with serial just as an homage to the origin of this story. And then I didn't get as many words done that month as I had hoped, but I got some, and then I put it away. It was just an experiment. And then I wrote another book called The Death of Us. And The Death of Us was a hard book for a couple of reasons. It was a dark story, and I was also going through some health problems at the time. And by the time I got done with the health problems and that book, I just wanted some joy. So I got these words out about dogs and cereal and Chicago and beer and country music, and just had the most fun writing it that I have ever had.
Well, yeah, Doll is a little messy with her cereal. That's why she has those dogs around.
That's what the dogs are for, right?
That's right, to clean up. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to 91.3 WYSO. It's the Book Nook, introducing you to your new favorite song and lots of music in this new book by Lori Rader Day. It's called Wreck Your Heart. And I'm being careful to tiptoe around potential spoilers here and giveaway stuff because you have a lot of stuff in here. But I will say they have a beautiful cover that they've done for this book, and it shows Doll performing. And the thing that you notice is that she's got this peacock feather in her hair. And this is quite a symbolic thing. Once you read the book, you'll understand.
I love that peacock feather. I love the cover. The cover was illustrated. It's an illustrated cover, you know, made especially for this book by the Anderson Design Group in Nashville. So these are designers, artists that do a lot of, you know, postcards and posters for tourism. And not just in Nashville, but for Nashville. They do some things specifically for Nashville. I'd already purchased one of their postcards just because I liked the design when they were chosen to illustrate the book. I love this cover. It's so different from my other books. It's definitely a, you know, don't expect the usual from Lori Rader Day. There's something different going on here, and it's got a nice spot varnish sheen to it. I'm admiring it while I'm talking to you, actually.
Well, the colors just reach out and grab you. And an underlying theme in this story, and I'm sure one that's big in Chicago, is gentrification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I live in the Jefferson Park neighborhood of Chicago, which is on the northwest side on the way to O'Hare from downtown. It's about 9 miles from city center, but it's still Chicago, right along the Milwaukee Avenue corridor. And what we've seen since my husband and I have been in town, it's about 23 years now, is that, you know, moving north along that corridor, that diagonal street that cuts through from downtown Chicago, it, like, everything that is charming and old and, you know, what we love about Chicago is disappearing. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And it seems like more and more, you know, of these great neighborhoods are, you know, just dotted with bank, you know, buildings. And then suddenly we have a new bank building down the street from our house, and then they didn't want that bank anymore, and so there's an empty bank building.
Hmm.
So it's like there wasn't anything great there to begin with in that case, but a lot of condos. I'm seeing a lot of, like, faceless monoliths. You know, I'm sure they're great to live in. I'm sure they're wonderful places to live, but they don't really add to the community as much as, like, a really cool, you know, McPhee's Tavern type place.
Mm-hmm. They lack character.
Definitely lacked character.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, Lori Rader Day has joined us on the phone in Chicago, and I heard you say that you've been listening to this country music and that kind of influenced you on this. I'm going to guess maybe when you were a kid growing up where you grew up, you might have heard a little country music.
I did, in fact. I grew up in Indiana. I lived in Indiana until I was almost 30, actually. I don't think that when you're a kid you think about genre. You know, you just like what you like. But my first 45 that I bought from my little record player with my own money was Elvira by the Oak
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Yes. It was a big hit, right? It was
a
crossover hit.
Uh-huh.
I love that song. And my family used to watch Hee Haw. I would watch Hee Haw with my grandparents when we stayed with them. The Mandrell Sisters show.
Sure.
I remember that one. Oh,
Barbara Mandrell. You betcha.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember Louise, and I can't remember the other younger sister's name off the top of my head, but I loved that show so much. And my first concert when I was 8 years old was John Schneider.
Oh, my.
Who played Beau Duke on Dukes of Hazzard, mm-hmm. which was my favorite show as a kid. You know, you're a kid. You just like what you like. And
sure.
I definitely liked country music early on in my life. I think I fell away from it. You know, I liked pop music when, you know, kids start listening to pop music. Michael Jackson was the big thing when I was, you know, a young teenager. And then I sort of moved away from pop music because I lived in an area that had the station that played classic rock. That was the big station. And so I listened to classic rock when I was in high school. That's just what I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to college, all my friends had been listening to pop, right? So I had to learn about music from everybody else by then. But somewhere around the time that Brandi Carlile was coming up, very early in her career, a friend of mine came to Chicago and asked me to go with her to a concert that she had an extra ticket to. And it was Brandi Carlile in this very small venue. We had a table up front. It was like a bit like a tavern, actually. It's Space in Evanston, if anyone is listening and knows that mm-hmm. venue. And so we were right up front. It was the best possible way to see a show and to discover a new artist for me. She was new to me. And it was fantastic. Mm. And I was like, is this country? It's not very twangy. It's not what I thought country music was. But it turns out country music is a lot of different things. It's not just one type of music. It's many types of music. One of the things I did for research for this book was to watch the Ken Burns documentary Country Music
mm-hmm.
on PBS, and I loved it. I watched it all the way through a couple times, and what I really took away from that documentary was the knowledge that music is not one thing, and it's influenced back and forth across these, you know, false marketing barriers. So, you know, rock and roll comes from country, and country comes from gospel, but it also influences backwards. So rock and roll, when it, you know, something happens in rock and roll, country is influenced by that. So it sort of pays back and forth across these barriers. The barriers are just from marketing
mm-hmm.
to help listeners find the stuff that they will like. But that's also a lot like books. You know, the genres of novels are. They're not hard and fast. They're very wishy-washy barriers.
True.
Which is something that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, it's for bookstores and libraries to be able to sort things and categorize them. And
help you find the book that you will love. I mean, that's
right.
Everybody's goal, is not just to sell a book, but to put, you know, a book that you will love in your hands so
right.
that you'll be a happy customer.
Didn't you go to Ball State?
I did go to Ball State.
Mm-hmm. I went on vacation once in Muncie. That was weird.
In Muncie?
I went on vacation to Muncie. That was bizarre.
I need to know what you did on vacation in Muncie.
Yeah, well, I'm trying not to remember, frankly.
I actually love Muncie. I spent a good part of my 20s in Muncie. I went to Ball State as a freshman when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And except for 1 year, I lived there for almost 10 years. So I actually love Muncie. I don't know that it's a vacation destination.
Yeah.
But it's a great town. The locals, they know what's up. I lived in downtown the last 5 years I lived in Muncie.
Yeah.
I worked for Ball State as an administrator and then also taught there and then got another degree there in a master's in journalism. So I had a great experience with Ball State. It was, you know, everything that I needed when I needed it. I was the first person in my family to go to college.
Mm.
And I needed some place that was welcoming, that, you know, would make me feel at home and help me figure out what college was and how to get through it. And it was a great experience. Some of the famous alums of Ball State would be David Letterman.
Uh-huh.
He gave money to the university to create the studios in the radio and television area, and it's the for all the C students is what the plaque says, because he was not a very good student. And then Jim Davis, the creator of Garfield, was an alum. We have a lot of great alums.
He's been on the show, Jim Davis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome. When I worked for Ball State, I did some, art direction for photography, and we went out to his big studio and took a picture of Jim Davis with all his Garfields all around him, all the Garfields that had ever been made in his studio.
Unbelievable.
It was fantastic, yeah.
Well, we're running out of time here, but you did mention Evanston. So tell me about your day job.
Well, I don't have a day job anymore.
You don't?
I used to work for Northwestern University as a senior administrator for the School of Communication.
They need to update your bio in the book.
Well, I do teach at Northwestern.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's probably what you're referencing. So I teach occasionally more.
I see.
Do it every day.
Okay.
But I love to teach. I teach creative writing for Northwestern School of Professional Studies. So it's, working students, people who have jobs and lives, and then they can take classes, at their leisure in the evenings, on weekends. I think some of them are virtual. And it's been a real great experience, because I've been able to teach genre writing. My students can write any kind of story. I don't police, monsters and ghosts and things that they want to write about. Whatever story they want to write, they can bring it to my class.
Nice. The book is Wreck Your Heart by Lori Rader Day. She's been my guest today in the Book Nook. And Lori, let's say you're in an elevator in Chicago going up to whatever floor, and you're in there with someone you don't know, and you're holding a copy of your book, and they turn to you and they go, "Oh, wow, what's that book about?" What would you say? What would be your elevator pitch?
Oh, I'm not as practiced at that because it's such early days, but it's about a country and Midwestern singer who is after her big break, after a big breakup.
Works for me. And there are lots of twists
plus,
in here.
Plus murder, plus, yeah, there's a lot of plot.
A lot of twists, and I've got to give it to you, when we get to the climactic scene in the building at the end, the stuff that you're doing there, that's just crazy.
I actually was trying to be a little crazy. I was just, I was thinking that Dahlia in the last few scenes in the book was having a little bit of a Goonies adventure. Do you know that movie, The Goonies?
Mm-hmm.
Just a movie that I loved as a kid and I still love, just going for, there's treasure in the building, maybe there's a ghost, someone's missing, someone's dead.
Mm-hmm.
These are stories that are somewhat not realistic, we hope, but I wanted to have some fun with this book, and I wanted the readers to have fun with it too.
Well, you did, and I can see that Goonies thing. With the stuff that they're doing, I was just like, man, and all these people, there's all these people going through all these gyrations. It's just amazing. The book is Wreck Your Heart by Lori Rader Day. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show, Lori.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Have fun with your People magazine publicity.
I intend to. Thank you.
For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks, as always, for listening.